puts it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Going to try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, Liverpool's into the Champions League final. They got a bit of a scare the first 45 minutes. We'll talk about it tonight here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. And it's always brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Call them at 713-322-HURT. Streaming at ESPN 975. And again, we'll take your phone calls throughout these first two segments. If you want to get on the air here and you've got something to say, it's 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. A couple of great guests on the show tonight. So, Sean Wright Phillips, who played over 200 times for Manchester City, he'll be on the show tonight here ahead of tomorrow's Manchester City-Real Madrid game. Of course, he will be down here this summer when Real Madrid will play Club America at Energy Stadium. So a lot of people excited about that announcement that came out from Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. So spotlight will be on Houston, Texas again. I don't think right now, quite frankly, anyone at City are thinking about Houston and Club America. But I know fans are, because you can get $35 tickets right now with Ticketmaster. So it's big time. Next week we'll have Jonathan DeSantos on the show, so we're going to have a lot of good guests continue to come in. I do want to say this before we get started here tonight. Just a really huge heartfelt thank you to all through social media who reached out concerning the passing of my father and also for birthday wishes. It was, honestly, quite overwhelming. You know, I wish I could say thank you to everybody, but it really means a lot that people would even simply take the time out to think of you, to think of your situation. It's a situation we all get in, and take the time out to just send a message. So a big thank you. And I just saw like every level of my life represented. So it's pretty incredible. So thank you very much for that. All right, so where do we begin tonight? We do have a lot to talk about, and we will do a deep dive on the Dynamo Austin FC match. There's a lot there based on the dynamics and the work in progress that are the Dynamo. Yeah, and I know you're tired of hearing about the work in progress, but, you know, I understand the frustration from fans. That's a good thing. That's healthy. It's fair based on the context of many, many years of futility. What's also fair is that the new regime, Pat Onstad, Asher Mendelsohn, they're not accountable for the prior struggles, nor is the new owner, Ted Siegel, and the driving down of the club in the past, which we all saw happen. You have to admit it. Even those with your orange glasses on, it was not good. And honesty is needed where we are, and positivity is needed for where the club can go in the future. So we'll have a lot to say on that tonight. Victor Ariza of The Striker Texas will join us. And, of course, my partner on TV, Eddie Robinson. This is ahead of our call Saturday, DC United on AT&T Sportsnet. So we'll get into a lot of that tonight. But I think we'll start it off here. And, Andrew, Liverpool, the cages rattled in the first 45 minutes. I mean, this made it a big watch. It was 2-0 Villarreal. They tied the aggregate up. And then guess what? Liverpool brought on Luis Diaz. Liverpool flexed their muscles, grew a couple inches, and basically dispatched the Villarreal like tamed kittens in the second half. It ends up 5-2 on aggregate. It was scary how they flipped gears, but I don't think there's any better manager in the world, maybe outside of Pep Guardiola, that can reset a game in a locker room maybe at halftime like Jurgen Klopp did. I know you followed it, Andrew, but I don't know if you got to see the whole game today. But I think Luis Diaz, again, reminding you and me, and we were talking about this before we came on the air, Liverpool, man, they get their signings right.
I mean, they do not miss, Glenn.
They are not 50-50.
No.
They are not 50, you know, they're not 40-60. They're not 30-70. They get their signings right.
No, basically every time since they've sold Philippe Coutinho to Barcelona and reinvested all that money into the team, I don't think that they have made a single real mistake. Now, they've had some signings that haven't been absolute home runs, but they haven't made a single real mistake on a big signing level since selling Coutinho. And it's a testament to the way the entire organization is run from the top all the way down to the bottom with how excellent they are, seeming with every single player they sign. It's just incredible.
It's a machine. All right, the machine got breached, though. We go to the third minute here, Liverpool-Villarreal today. This is the second leg going into this. It was a 2-0 Liverpool lead. I mean, Villarreal Stadium is absolutely rocking. It's insane. It's 20,000. They're right on top of you. They're coming out like it's as though they got 13 players on the field. They're closing people down. They're hitting people. They're tackling. They are so adrenalized, and they score in the third minute. Here's how it sounded. Dia getting the goal.
This is Parejo. Now Purvis Estupiñan, whose cross has devil. Capu! Dia! 1-0 Villarreal! In next to no time! Hold the back page! There's a story still to be written!
So Liverpool go down 1-0, and I mean, they're stunned. They can't get a passing rhythm going, and they don't the whole first half, pretty much, and which is pretty remarkable. And when you see that you just are going, you know, it's not natural to see that, right? So Villarreal gets a 2-0 lead. Francis Coquelin, and by the way, Francis probably kicked every single guy in Liverpool today. This is a 41st minute goal. It makes it 2-0.
Pau Torres went long. Capu. Away from Robertson, Capu's cross, Coquelin! Now the cat is amongst the pigeons! This is quite something!
In the end, it's going to be a tease, because here's how it goes in the second half. You could tell it's a different Liverpool. All of a sudden, they're back in Villarreal up, and Fabinho hits in the 62nd.
Fabinho, no flag, Fabinho! Thunders it through the goalkeeper and reestablishes the preeminence of Liverpool.
Yeah, and Hugh O'Connor's pub on I-10 goes nuts, right? Big sponsors of the show, Hugh O'Connor's. All right, so 2-2, 5 minutes later, Luis Diaz, who came on for Diego Jota, and all of a sudden, it's now 2-2 on the day, but the aggregate wrestled back by Liverpool.
Alexander-Arnold, Diaz! Liverpool are boss now. The little electric Colombian has switched them back on.
The little electric Colombian. I like that. By the way, he played at Porto, Atletico Junior, Porto, where Hector Herrera, who will come to the Houston Dynamo in the summer, played 35 caps for Colombia for Luis Diaz. But every single game I've seen him come on for Liverpool, he's been excellent. And guess what? You want to make it 3-2 on the day and 5-2 overall on the aggregate. Well, all you got to do is find Sadio Mane, 74th minute.
Sadio Mane's on his way and Rooney has come. Mane against Foyt. He's left Foyt behind as well. Sadio Mane must score. Beyond all reasonable doubts, Liverpool European Cup finalists for a 10th time.
Pretty remarkable run under Jurgen Klopp. So they're going to lie in wait, and tomorrow we got a big, big day. We got Manchester City and Real Madrid. That's the afternoon game. And then at night, for those that are tied into Major League Soccer, the CONCACAF Champions League will feature Seattle. They've sold over 60,000 tickets already. It may even be a sellout. We can check that during commercial break. They will play Unam Pumas for a trip to go to the FIFA Club World Cup. And I, for one, am tired of seeing Mexican teams win it. And if you want to be able to say and brag and prop yourself up and say you're the best league in this region of the world, then you need to win this tournament. And tomorrow, I will pick Seattle to win this. Seattle, I think, is very focused on this. They're not even in a playoff spot. They're below. There's a lot of actually interesting teams that are sitting below the Dynamo right now that you just know are going to come to life at some point. Portland, Seattle, Colorado. These are all teams below the top seven in MLS. The Dynamo are at seventh in the Western Conference. But these teams are going to come to life, no question. All right, so a couple of things here to talk about. And if you got any thoughts on the Liverpool game today or City tomorrow, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number. Later on, Sean Wright Phillips. Later on from the Houston Dynamo, Fafa Pico. Later on, Eddie Robinson, Victor Ariza. And we will continue to roll on here tonight with the best in soccer talk. We'll also have Stephen Goff from the Washington Post. We'll get a little preview on DC United. All right, so 4-3 aggregate lead for City. Real Madrid will get back Casemiro. David Alaba is out, their center back. Everybody's expecting and saying that Nacho will replace him. Guardiola has beaten Ancelotti in 5 out of the last 7. They've got injury problems as well. John Stones is not fit. Kyle Walker's traveling, although this is a guy that hasn't played in 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know where that is. He had an ankle injury against Atletico Madrid. So it's likely either João Cancelo or Fernandinho. Of course, it's Kevin De Bruyne. It's Phil Foden. The pressure is on Manchester City to finally get a win here. Here's Kevin De Bruyne talking about winning the Champions League, changing the perception of Manchester City.
Well, I think it would change the perspective from outside. I don't think... obviously, as a player, you want to win the trophies and you want to win this one. But I think the fact that we've been fighting for it numerous years and being to the latter stages means that we've been doing really well. Obviously, it's a cup competition and the quality is very high, so it's very, very difficult to win it. And there's different circumstances that happen. But, you know, I think in the end, if you look back at the way we performed or I performed with the team for 7 years, we did really well. But obviously we didn't win it, and I think win it would just change that little narrative.
More from De Bruyne here, where he talks about himself in relation to winning the Champions League. And by the way, this guy for me, Kevin De Bruyne, these are the kind of athletes I like. Humility, tremendous consistency, tremendous focus on the craft. Here's what he said about changing how he views himself if he were to win the Champions League.
For myself, I don't think it changed the perspective I look at myself as a player. I think I know what I've done good and what I've done bad in my career. And I'm pretty happy with what I've done. But obviously, I want to win. I want to win every trophy that I can get. But that's a hard task. But I would obviously love to win the Champions League also.
All right, we can't leave without hearing a little bit from Pep Guardiola. Here's soundbite number 4, Pep Guardiola, the manager of Manchester City.
It's no guarantee that the same guys are going to play the same way. So I don't know when it's going to happen tomorrow. We're going to the selection, of course, to try to win the game, the best 11 as possible, and that's all. So there are moments that you trade really bad the day before the game, really, really bad, and the day after make an exceptional performance, and the day before the game you train incredible well, the guys in the play, you play not good. So it's not. We saw the game, the good things, and the other things we have to improve, and we are going to try to do it.
So that was Pep Guardiola. If I remember correctly, because I listened to this live this morning, Guardiola was asked, hey, it's really simple. All you got to do is play the same 11 guys and you're going to win. And Guardiola kind of, it was pretty funny. So I just want to remind everybody out there, because somebody's covering the Champions League or the Premier League doesn't necessarily mean they always ask great questions either. Okay? So just a little food for thought. Just remember. All right. Here's a little more from Pep Guardiola, soundbite 5.
So you're talking about the experience, but the question is, what do you learn about this experience? Because maybe you leave the experience and you don't learn anything, and you will do the same mistakes. So, and after this, every game is completely different. You know, it's difficult for me to compare, like we leave last season's being in Europe and last stages. It's going to happen tomorrow, but tomorrow there are guys like it's going to wake up in the morning. How will be their mood? How will be the perform? Many things that the experience didn't help you. The fact that we have been there, we are being there quite often in the last years in these big games or scenarios. So, yeah, that in terms of, yeah, we have been here. But that is not guaranteed, you know, for the fact you have been there, you're going to play good or perform well. This is what we try to do, and they know you have to perform well in our best to reach the final.
So that was Pep Guardiola. I'm going to take you back to the soundbite prior. Another thing he said during this press conference that was great, and it was I believe it was in relation to that question about, hey, all you got to do is play the same 11 guys. He said, yeah, we could play the same 11 guys and play bad and still win. Interesting. All right, so that's Pep Guardiola here. So came out and said, this is pretty funny, said he's going to likely retire after this period with Real Madrid, but then went on to say, if Real want me for another 10 years, I'll be here for another 10 years. Ancelotti, who can take a plate of pasta with the best of them, is the only man to win the title in all five top European leagues. Italy, AC Milan, England, Chelsea, Germany, Bayern Munich, France, PSG, and now La Liga with Real Madrid. Got a little Frank Sinatra going to break. All right, seek performance, find luxury. Advantage BMW in Midtown. You'll experience premium service. It's tailored for you. At Advantage BMW in Midtown, excellence isn't just offered, it's expected. It's dedicated to putting your time first down there. So go down there, see Justin, the expert sales team. They can help you find the perfect new, certified pre-owned or pre-owned vehicle. Discover something special. Discover your hometown Advantage at San Jacinto at Gray or at AdvantageBMWHouston.com. All right, caller number six right now, 713-780-3776. Pair of tickets for the Houston Dynamo Nashville game coming up in a couple weeks.
Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll...
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, all you soccer tacticians out there, come on, help me break it down. The Austin Dynamo game from PNC Stadium. That's what we're going to do in this segment. You can call and join the fun, 713-780-3776. That was a big Saturday and two straight Texas Derby matches. The Dynamo are going to look to flip it around against DC United this weekend. That game you can catch on AT&T Sportsnet with Eddie Robinson and myself. We will do a half-hour pregame show and get you set up. Manchester City will be coming to Houston here, just reminding you, July 20th. This is called the Copa de Lone Star, and they'll take on Club America. I just mentioned that Jonathan Dos Santos will be on the show next week, so we've already got him booked. Mexico's won it 13 times. Mexican powerhouse Club America has won Liga MX 13 times. And, of course, Guillermo Ochoa, Jonathan Dos Santos, players like that, will be coming in. So they're going to have their representation out there as well, going up against Manchester City with the likes of Phil Foden and Kevin De Bruyne. I think this is pretty amazing. I mean, there's tickets only $35 on Ticketmaster. Andrew, that's a score right there. $35?
Oh, that's a steal.
That's a steal. That's a great buy right there. $35 on Ticketmaster. CopaDeLoneStar.com. All right, let's quickly get you set up with the Houston. First of all, we did this on ESPN 97.5, your soccer station, Eddie Robinson and I. So we got to witness what whoever was at that game got to witness, which was the uniqueness of the goal from Sebas Ferreira. So only 5 minutes in, and this is after goalkeeper Brad Stuver had already come out. This is the way they play. They take a lot of risk. Stuver came out earlier, gave a ball away, and left an empty net. The Dynamo lost control, couldn't punish it. It actually led to a counterattack. But then Sebas Ferreira, after Stuver, tries to play a ball forward. He drives it low, though, and it goes right back from Adam Lundqvist to Sebas Ferreira, and he scores from the halfway line. I mean, this is a unique goal. This is not easy to do. The ball's running as he's dribbling it. Remember, he's hitting a ball that's moving away from him, and he sticks it under the crossbar. Stuver crashes into the net, leg laceration. They got to take him out. They got to bring in Andrew Tarbell. Here's how it sounded in the fifth minute. Sebas Ferreira.
Stuver, who was way off his line, he's out of goal here. Driussi And this is a chance for Sebas Ferreira. Did he catch him?
Spectacular.
Ferreira has caught Stuber from the halfway line. What a start.
Yeah, that's a rare and unique moment. But what we have to remember is Austin FC is a tremendous possession team. They commit a lot of people forward. They throw both their outside backs forward, which I think forced, and I'm going to ask Fafapico about this, both Fafapico and Sebas Ferreira to defend way too much in this game. They're back in their final third of the field. They're passing the Dynamo. Now, the Dynamo at 1-0 had two good chances from Darwin Quintero, and that's why he's out there. Unfortunately, couldn't convert him. They could have potentially went up 2-0, but then Austin FC will tie at 1-1, one of the bright young I'll tell you, this guy, Danny Pereira, has jumped a couple of notches up the ladder of effectiveness and maturity in Major League Soccer. He's only in year two. Here's his goal in the 39th. Into the final third comes Austin FC. Finley, his cross is to the far post. Oh, it's 1-1. It is Danny Pereira who's having an outstanding season. It is now 1-1 as Austin FC fans go wild here at PNC Stadium. Now, let's not forget, Druisi, who is going to hit an unbelievable game winner in this, goes deep to collect the ball, right? Arruti takes off and runs back to the ball. He takes the teenage with him into midfield and pulls the Dynamo up a little bit. Druisi finds Arruti's feet. Arruti plays a one-time ball. It turns the entire Dynamo defense. So now you're running back to your own goal. Ring hits it wide to Finley. Finley teases the cross over the two center backs, tucked in maybe a little bit too far. Is the Dynamo. Nobody tracked the far post run, and I got to tell you, the Dynamo back four did not get much help from their midfield on this, but they were pulled out of shape defensively, and guess who scores his first goal? Danny Pereira. He's completely unmarked, and again, the cross was just teased over the head just barely of Tim Parker and Teenage Adebi. So that made it 1-1, go to halftime, and then the second half, let's just play this goal from Druisi because this is something special. By the way, this happened after a stoppage and a bunch of changes. And in my opinion, the Dynamo back four dropped off way too deep. So Corey Baird and others, three or four guys around him who didn't get tight on him, were not pushed a little bit higher. And I think that's also the practice of a back four. If you drop too deep, people are going to drop with you. And I think the Dynamo, from a standpoint of killing space, really got it wrong here. And Druisi does something special.
Fagundes knocks it right inside. It's Druisi. Watch it. Oh, my God. What a swiveled hit that is. And that is why you pay big bucks for your designated player.
Well, that is. I mean, that's where you put your money in, guys that can win you games, and this guy's doing it. He's now got seven goals. Austin FC now has five wins. They're playing in that system that really commits a lot of people forward, and the second half, the Dynamo really kind of ran out of steam. You got a chance or two from Thor Ulfarsson off the bench. But at the end of the day, it was tough. So the Dynamo trotted out here. So here's a couple of thoughts. This game was entertaining, by the way. A lot of open play, traveling fans. You had a lot going on there. It was interesting. What we knew about Austin FC coming in from last year was that they are aggressive, and they're going to control large portions of the game through possession. They're going to concede a lot of space in transition, and they're going to take a lot of risk. And the starting lineup for the Dynamo included Darwin Quintero, Memo Rodriguez, Coco Carrasquilla. I was a little concerned about that because now you're starting Memo Rodriguez, who normally comes off the bench. You're asking a lot of those guys going up against Danny Pereira, Alex Ring, and Sebastian Driussi. I thought Doran Seren was going to get the start, so much so for what I know, you know. I mean, I'm not the coach, and Paulo Nagamura is. So he had a different idea, and I think that might have included the fact that Memo Rodriguez is good on the ball. I also would have thought that was because the Dynamo were really going to try to press early. And I think they did to a degree. So presumably Rodriguez's ability on the ball, but I mean, look, that midfield got breached a couple times with people just running with the ball. Pereira just running right through him, which makes it very difficult on a back four. You notice that the Dynamo would often be defending with attackers, Fafapico and Sebas Ferrer. These guys are all the way in their own third of the field. So when the Dynamo won the ball or cleared the ball, the only guy they had up front was Darwin Quintero. He was the highest man on the field for them a lot. And he's not going to be able to beat anybody vertically. He's not a breakaway threat. Your vertical threat is Fafapico, who much of your attack is built around. And, you know, for a lot of the game, he was back defending very, very deep. Now, we can all play post-match quarterback here. It's an easy thing to do. Me personally, I would have loved to have seen him just kept up front, pulled out wide. Let's see if Austin FC reacts and drops a defender with him. If they don't, you're still defending 8 against 8. And now, if those two outside backs go forward, you got Sebas making his runs in the attacking half of the field. I mean, not Sebas, but Fafapico. Because this game really, for me, kind of turned into, because of the possession of Austin FC and their territorial play in the Dynamo's half of the field for most of the game, this turned into a transition, you know, counterattacking game for the Houston Dynamo. Very vertical. And a lot of times, Fafapico, you know, was back as in own half of the field. So I was hoping he was going to be able to get higher. And part of that is you got to really give Austin FC a lot of credit, because with their possession, they do get it forward quickly and they push people back. And you got to make a stand against them. And if you can't hold the ball, then you got to try to hit him on the counter and get behind him. And they basically left two center backs, Julio Cascante and Ruben Gabrielsen, to their own devices. And, you know, you just, this is the conundrum of the lineup, because you also need, and you also get a lot of work out of Fafapico. Now, Fafapico is going to have the challenge of Julian Gressel of DC United this weekend. And DC United, even though they're 3-5 and last in the East, they're going to be a challenge out wide with Brad Smith and Julian Gressel. They got a good wide game. They got guys out wide that can play. Gressel, tremendous assist, man. Tremendous crosser of the ball. DC fired Hernan Losada. We can get into a little bit of that with Stephen Goff of the Washington Post when we talk to him. But let me give you some data here. And I think this is for everybody who focuses so much on all the data and things. And the data is important. There's a lot of decisions in the modern game made on data now. But the Dynamo lost big 60-40 in the category of possession, the amount of passes. And you think of the amount of additional passes that Austin's making. It's, I don't think, I'm trying to find my notes here because I wrote all of this down and I can't find them. But Austin FC made, you know, another 140, 150 passes. That's a whole bunch of running and dictation to an opponent. That tires people out. I thought the Dynamo looked, you know, they kind of got, you know, it was kind of not death by chocolate, but death by passing, right? I mean, they got passed all over the place and had to do a lot of running, changing directions, chasing the ball consistently in this game, and I think they got tired. It takes the life out of you. And Austin FC does this in a way that's highly effective. Now, the Dynamo in shots on goal were all very close, in some cases very even. But anybody who watched that game, I mean, you know that Austin FC was in control. I don't think there's any question if you watch that game. And they were able to really dictate the game. Now, that doesn't mean on occasion somebody's going to score goals and be clinical and finish and win games. But the Dynamo aren't doing that right now. It's not happening. 713-780-3776. Let's go to Paulo Nagamura. This is soundbite number 4 on the poor performance from his eyes.
Bottom line, I think, was just like a poor performance overall. I think we came with a plan. I think a lot of times we stick to that plan, and but we're not consistent enough throughout the 90 minutes.
So that was Paulo Nagamura, his initial comments. And then let's go to soundbite number five. Sebas adapting, but we need more from the team. This is on Sebas Ferreira.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about this every week, and I think I've been saying the same thing, and I'm going to keep saying the same thing. I think Seba has been adapting. He's been getting better performances. I think the goals will help him boost his confidence. Today he scored a great goal, but I think we need more. We need more from the entire team. We need more from guys around him. So happy for him. But again, we gotta keep moving forward and fix a couple of things that we didn't do as well today in a match against Elsen.
I like that from Paulo Nagamura. People around him have to do more. And that's a question I'm going to ask Fafa Pico tonight, is if the wingers have to help bring him into this team. This guy's got four goals. He's not going to score goals from the halfway line. He had one touch in the penalty area outside in this game. One touch, you're number nine in a penalty area. This is a problem. This is a problem with the makeup right now. But Paulo Nagamura is going to keep fighting, and the Dynamo are going to have to continually, and we've heard this from Pat Onstad, look to upgrade the roster. The two Brazilians got on, Thiago and Zeca. Can talk about that as well. We'll continue the Dynamo talk here. Coming up next is Victor Ariza of the Striker Texas and Eddie Robinson. So we'll continue to talk a bit here on the Dynamo as we continue on here. All right. If you want to join us in the next segment, it's 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. If you've got thoughts on the Houston Dynamo, Austin FC, or ahead of DC United. Now, this would be a great game to recover and turn it around, getting a win on the road at DC. The Dynamo have already done that at Inter Miami. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I just want to remind you real quick, LamontBrands.com. That's where you go. You get the Soccer Matters t-shirts. I'd appreciate that if you grabbed one. All the proceeds go to the Snowdrop Foundation. It's a 501c charity that provides scholarships to cancer patients. We're creating awareness. We're fundraising. This show here, Soccer Matters, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, is a platform for spreading pediatric cancer awareness. We'll take a break. Two heavy hitters coming up next.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we come back with little Peter Peter Tosh, the toughest here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Okay, I found that data, and it was really almost an additional 200 passes that Austin FC made against the Houston Dynamo. So as Andrew Carlson and I, producer extraordinaire, were talking about in break, that's 200 times people have to react to a movement of the ball. And remember, this is Austin FC. They're not passing it around the back that long. They're getting it forward quickly. They're tossing two outside backs forward. So I do think they did basically suck the life out of the Dynamo legs and minds a little bit. And they're going to win games on the road because of that possession game. All right. Welcome back to the show here, as always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Joining us now, Eddie Robinson and Victor Ariza. And, Eddie, I'll start with you first as the senior member. How about some general thoughts on this game against Austin FC? We know Dynamo fans are a little disappointed because it was the second consecutive Texas derby.
Well, the first 10 minutes of that game, you thought, all right, the Dynamo have shaken off the rust. They've gotten over the late loss to FC Dallas in Dallas 2 weeks ago. Sebastian Ferreira looked sharp. The team looked sharp. Good early goal, exactly what you want at home against the rival. And then, gosh, Austin FC just did what Austin FC does. They took possession of the ball. They took control of the game. They got the ball to Drew Easy. They got the ball forward quickly. And it was all Austin from that point on, and I'm probably going to go back a couple times over the next few weeks to what I said before the FC Dallas game was, you know, the next six games will probably tell us who the Dynamo really are. Now, they've lost the first two. They've got D.C. coming up this weekend on the road. Then they've got Nashville. They've got Seattle. And then they've got the L.A. Galaxy. And then next Wednesday night, the Open Cup game, that's not a gimme either. So Paulo Nagamura's got to figure out a way to motivate this team and get them to a point where over these next few games, they can do it for 90 minutes.
Yeah, I would agree with you. By the way, San Antonio FC, we will have some of their guys on the show next week because they want to get another another head of an MLS team. They did it against Austin FC, which I think is a great story because they were trying to get Major League Soccer in San Antonio, and then all of a sudden Austin FC showed up in the form of the Columbus Crew. Victor, how about your initial thoughts? Victor Ariza of the Striker Texas.
Yeah, great to be on with you guys, first of all. I think, you know, for a team like Houston that expressed they wanted to have possession with a purpose, it was honestly a little bit embarrassing to kind of the way they just gave up the ball to Austin, right? I mean, I know Austin did their thing, but, you know, maybe a little bit is giving them too much credit because Houston sat back, they gave them the ball just like they did the previous week against FC Dallas. These are rivalry games that are, you know, I know are important to fans for players like Ferreira who would like to play in these derbies, who get up for these games. He scored in both of them, and you can tell what it meant to him. He was frustrated, walked off the field as soon as the whistle was over. I mean, he looked mad after the game, as any player with a bit of pride would. And well, I mean, that's been the story for Dynamo these past couple of games.
Talking to Eddie Robinson, Victor Ariza, Sebas Ferreira, his number, 16 touches. He had 10 total passes, two shots. He had one touch in Austin FC's box the entire game. So it really was a counter-attacking game. Eddie, organic, or do you think the Dynamo were dropping off on purpose, or how much do we factor in just maybe how good Austin FC is on the ball? Because they're one of the best ball possession teams in MLS, no question.
Well, that front four or five, you've got to remember how dynamic they are when you include Ring with that attacking group. They're moving all the time. They're moving early. They're finding spaces. They're interchanging positions. And if there's one thing that we talk about a lot, it's communication among the Dynamo back four and how important Matias Vera has shown that he is in protecting that back four. When Matias Vera is in the game, the Dynamo look like a different team defensively, which allows Coco Carrasquilla to play higher up the field. He was a little bit deeper in this game. He and Memo Rodriguez kind of split the duties of that number six position, which I don't think you can be a winning team in MLS unless you have a dedicated number six. The way that teams are building around attacking players and spending all of their designated player money and roster spots on attacking players, and Austin FC is no exception. And, you know, it's going to be the same thing when you get Nashville. It's going to be the same thing when you get Seattle, the same thing when you get against the Galaxy. So I got to give a lot of credit to Austin, and the Dynamo just have to be better defensively when they play against these very dynamic attacking teams. But at the beginning of the season, I think you have to take those first two games with a bit of a grain of salt, because no team is 100% ready to rock and roll. They're not at their best. But now, as you start to get towards, you know, a third of the way through the season, teams are really finding their stride. They're finding their chemistry. They're shaking the rust off. And you look at Austin FC and how many goals they've scored this year. You've got to be on your game defensively if you're going to beat them. And the Dynamo just won.
Yeah, Matias Vera out injured for that one. The Dynamo are going to hope they get him back this coming weekend. And Paulo Nagamura trotted out a midfield that included Darwin Quintero, Memo Rodriguez, and Coco Carrasquilla. I thought Coco Carrasquilla fought very hard, tried his best, obviously, but I just think they were so overmatched, Victor, that it was a bit of a struggle. Victor, were you surprised that Darwin Seren didn't get the start and Memo Rodriguez did simply because Seren a little bit more defensive oriented, and that way maybe you're saving Memo Rodriguez to come off the bench. On the other hand, maybe Paulo Nagamura was trying something different. Your thought?
Yeah, no, I was surprised Seren didn't start because, I mean, that would be the like-for-like replacement with Vera not playing. I mean, if you wanted to stick kind of to what the Dynamo do every week, right? And it's not like Memo Rodriguez has been playing that well. I mean, especially in that Open Cup game against RGV. I mean, he's a guy that's left a lot to be desired, considering, whatever strides he was making in prior years. I was kind of surprised to see him on the field. And, it ultimately didn't work out, right? I mean, you have two attacking players. I thought for that reason, too, that, Quintero and Rodriguez on the field, I thought, that's the Dynamo we're going to be more attacking, right? And what better start than fifth minute? You get a goal like that, put the air out of Austin FC, go for the knockout blow, and they just couldn't do it.
All right, so let me roll a soundbite for you two guys. This is soundbite number 6. We're talking to Eddie Robinson, Victor Ariza from the Striker Texas. This is Paulo Nagamura on the team's tendency to turn off.
I think it's a commitment to play for 90 plus minutes. I think we got to understand that we are a team that we cannot afford to turn it off just because the way that we want to play and the way that this league is very competitive. I say that there's no easy games. Every team can beat every team. I think we as a group, we just got to make sure that we're being accountable to each other and make sure that we minimize those moments, because teams will capitalize on those moments. And again, this afternoon, I think we had a few plays that we turned it off and we paid the price.
Eddie, I made the point in the segment prior that, Sebas Ferreira and Fafa Pico just did a tremendous amount of defending. I mean, they were back in their own third so much of this game. And if your vertical game is Fafa Pico and he's your main threat, I was a little surprised that we didn't see him just, higher up the field, standing near the halfway line, let eight go against eight, win the ball, and at least pose the question to Austin FC that, hey, if we stand Fafa Pico here, are you gonna mark him or are you gonna leave him? If you leave him, there's your option. I just thought the Dynamo so many times got the ball and just were limited options because the entire team was back defending.
Well, this is the predictable nature that has been the Dynamo attack for years now. This is what they do. They want to stay compact and they want to be good defensively. Like you said, there's very often times where there's no outlet. Once the Dynamo win the ball, they're so under pressure and there's no options going forward that they can't get out of their own end. And, the other word that really struck me that Paulo Nagamura said is accountability. Another thing I haven't seen from this Dynamo team is individual players on the field holding each other accountable for mistakes, for good play. It's very easy to be rah-rah after a win and talk about, this player was good, this player was good, this player is good. But it's like guys are scared to hold each other accountable, and that's where, teams become gritty and fight, just like Paulo was talking about. Look at Villarreal today. Nobody gave him a chance against Liverpool, but look what they did in that first half. They hold each other accountable. They fight, they scrap, they tackle, they challenge. I mean, this is, when you talk about the predictability of the Dynamo attack and the lack of the accountability and just grittiness and meanness when it comes to a derby, it's going to be tough to win games.
Well, you're going to get some of that when Hector Herrera comes here, and Hector's going to want to produce for the Houston Dynamo because he's going to prepare himself for a World Cup with Mexico. How do you see this team, Victor, when Hector Herrera comes here, and how much of the dynamic will change? And again, I think we go back to your initial point, Eddie, that Matias Vahrenhout out there, really made the dynamics different, really tested your depth. And we can see that the roster build will have to continue. And Pat Onstad has made that very clear in the future.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is depth, right? You saw the depth over the weekend with Vahrenhout there. I think the biggest question is, what's the future with Carrasquilla, right? Because if Herrera comes in but Carrasquilla's gone, I mean, that changes the complexion of that midfield as well, right? So,
well, why are you assuming that Kadaski is gone? Why do you assume that Coco's gone?
I'm not,
gone?
But I mean, we haven't heard anything from the club as far as, you know, having him picked up on his permanent right. option. So, I mean, that to me, I see that as 50-50 until we see some indication.
Correct.
Or
hey,
any announcement.
Victor, by the way, did you think I thought Coco was one of the few midfielders that really was trying to push the game a little bit? I mean, he had 10 passes into the final third. I mean, you got to give him an A-plus for effort, I think.
Yeah, to me, he's been the player of the season for Houston. He's been their best player. He's not going to get the recognition because he's not maybe as flashy as a Darwin Quintero, and he doesn't have the goals to show for it, right? But I think he's been sort of the glue that has kind of kept the whole team together on the field. It's going to be interesting to see what they do there again if they keep him and see if they put up the money for that. But, you know, the one thing is, Herrera is obviously going to make this team better, but before he can even join the team, you got 5 of 8 on the road. So it's going to be a test.
Yeah, no question about it. Eddie, I'm going to give you the final push here in this one. I'm going to quickly go to both of you guys on something non-Dynamo related here. Seattle, 60-plus thousand, Pumas tomorrow. How big is it for Major League Soccer to knock off Liga MX and get to the FIFA Club World Cup?
This is where you want to be. If you're a fan of any team in Major League Soccer, there's only one team you're rooting for tomorrow night, and that's the Seattle Sounders. But the one thing that you have to give the Mexican teams credit for year in and year out, they can go into these environments because they play in such hostile environments in Mexico. They can go into these environments and tune things out. They're not going to be intimidated by this crowd. They're going to play their game. They're going to be very good. They're going to be very difficult. Seattle's going to come out. They're going to get hyped up because of the crowd. The adrenaline's going to be going. The first 15 or 20 minutes, if they can get a goal, they'll be in great shape. But once that adrenaline wears off and the real game starts, it's going to be really interesting to see who comes out on top. I still think it's probably about maybe 52-48 in favor of Seattle, but it's going to be a fun game no matter what. I think it's going to be scrappy. There's going to be fouls. There's going to be goals, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Tomorrow's a great day. You got Real Madrid, Manchester City, and then you got that game with Seattle and Unam Pumas to end the night. Victor, I'm tired of seeing Liga MX teams win. And you know what? You can't tell people you're the best in your region unless you win tomorrow night.
No, and it would be fitting if Seattle wins it, because I think they have all the elements of a great team. Obviously, a great team for years in Major League Soccer, the way the fan base is, you know, the GM, the coach. I think Brent Schmetzer is probably maybe the best coach in MLS, or he's at least in the conversation. The players they got, right? Lozado, Rui Diaz, he picked up Rushnak. All around a complete team, but they got to still bring it home tomorrow for MLS. And look, Pumas making a late push into the playoffs over the weekend. Dineno is one of the players of the league. He's having a great moment, so it's going to be a great game overall. I'm ready for it.
Definitely looking forward to it, and we're definitely looking forward to, by the way, I'll remind you again, the Houston Dynamo will take on DC United this Saturday. Yeah, join Eddie and I for the call of that game. We're looking forward to the Dynamo rebounding here, getting a win over DC United. We'll monitor the health of Matias Vera. Hopefully he gets back in the lineup. Chad Ashton is the interim coach after Hernan Losada was fired. Stephen Goff's going to talk about that with the Washington Post coming up. We'll also have Sean Wright Phillips, formerly in Manchester City. A big thank you to Eddie Robinson and Victor Ariza. Guys, thank you very much for the great conversation.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. So good work from both Eddie and Victor there. All right. More to come here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Quick word here for Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture. Look, this has got to be on your bucket list of furniture. Longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, Jan Christensen, Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, danishinspirations.com. We'll take a break here. Don't forget, get your LamontBrands.com Soccer Matters t-shirts, all proceeds to the Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity. Soccer Matters, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
I died a thousand times.
ESPN 97.5.